And how often have we just wanted to sing a song for Brandy? As in The Enemy Within.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
The voice that we hadn't heard of prior to that little insert into the program, of course. The voice of whom, Jessica?
Phil Lernis.
Phil Lernis.
I thought you were going to say the voice of reason.
Should have. Inevitably, you know.
Both,
Emma, quite really, right. The voice of Lernis and the voice of reason. Yeah. All in one, you know. What he's made of the show, I don't know. He used to always tweet us and sort of do various other things and build up to the programme. Probably he's too busy to do that sort of thing now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. Phil Lernis, good morning. How are you?
I am excellent, Alex. It will come as a huge shock to you that I chose the height of the discussion over the new season, the new series of Doctor Who. I chose that moment to go and shower and get dressed.
That's fair enough.
That's understandable. Anyway.
However, I did glean some interesting insight from what I did hear and from the review and what from the your fabulous young co-presenters stated, and it kind of actually, put the, it hit the nail on the head as something that I had been wrestling around with this, because I think we all have this, even a non-Whovian, such as myself, although that sounds like non-Whovian, I think, is something from Dr. Seuss, but anyway, I tried this season of Doctor Who, and why did I try it? Well, I tried it because of Peter Capaldi. And I think that there was this large sense that if you loved Doctor Who, you had to know that this was going to be the greatest series of it ever. And if you didn't like Doctor Who, you had to know finally there was a Doctor Who for you, because we all had to universally acknowledge that Peter Capaldi is a great actor, and therefore he would do wonderful things with this role. And what a huge amount of pressure that is on the shoulders of an actor. And I actually see an actor who feels that pressure when I watch him perform as Doctor Who. It is almost as if he feels he has to bring up this material into a level of greatness that is expected of him. And it is this discomfort between the level at where the material is meant to be played and where he is expected to play it that leaves virtually everyone unsatisfied. And the comparison that I would give, going back more than a quarter of a century now, is when Timothy Dalton, who had been universally acknowledged as one of the finest actors of his generation, took over for Roger Moore as James Bond. And the first film they gave him was kind of a Roger Moore leftover script. So everyone said, well, Dalton's good. The movie needs a lot of improvement. The next time around, they gave this really dark, gritty kind of screenplay that they really wouldn't be able to master until Daniel Craig came around. And they gave that to Timothy Dalton, and the results bored everybody.
So I quite like License to Kill.
I've always believed that he is owed a huge apology for it. I loved that for the first time.
David Hedison in there?
Other than For Your Eyes Only, those are the two James Bond films since From Russia with Love that could actually have happened in real life.
So
I appreciated that. But let's face it, it was a turning of the page that was so dramatic that I think neither critics nor audiences were prepared for it. And I think also it was when they finally went that way with the tone, again with Daniel Craig, it required having an actor that we could still discover in the role to be able to explore this new material. And I think that that's true of, the Doctor as well. Instead of trying to make the material and tailor it to an actor because of all the acknowledgement of how great he is, figure out what the new series of The Doctor is going to express. Figure it out on a story level. Figure it out on a material level. Figure it out on a tone level. And then go and say, wow, who's the actor that's best for the stories we want to tell? And I feel like they kind of went about this the opposite way, and it ended up serving no one.
Well, interesting line there, Emma. To consider and cogitate on. Meanwhile, you might be interested in knowing, Phil, that according to Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, who's joining us tomorrow morning at 9:40 a.m., British people, and that's us on this side of the Atlantic, are burning themselves out by not getting enough me time. Apparently more than half of us don't get enough weekly downtime, which leads to tiredness, stress, and even depression. The average Briton needs 20 hours of mental downtime a week to feel relaxed and refreshed.
This is definitely true.
Longer working hours and FOMO,
fear
of missing out.
You're only providing 4 hours of that on a weekly basis for the British populace,
well,
right?
Exactly. You know, we do the occasional bonus hour as we did earlier today with the Lincoln Inspired or Inspired on Air thing. But apparently, longer working hours and FOMO, which of course is fear of missing out, have the biggest negative impact on mental downtime. So there we are. Real issues there, which we'll be talking about tomorrow morning. Anyway, where else do you wish to go? I mean, did you manage to catch... You won't see Holby City, presumably, in California. I don't think it's gone international as yet. Mind you, that'd be quite interesting. But I say Holby City, Hollyoaks.
Hollyoaks.
Exactly. Easily confused.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be able either. To understand the accents.
Probably not. Mind you, it is some of Cheshire's finest subtitles, perhaps. Coronation Street, of course. A variety of other bits and pieces. Anything else that you'd like to draw to our attention, Phil?
Yes, and it's something that was discussed on my show, Chilpack Hollywood Hour, this week. Because I like to think that it's an adjunct of the midweek drive in certain ways.
Used to give us lots of name checks. We haven't had a name check on the Chilpack Hollywood Hour for almost a year now, actually, Phil.
Shocking.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I'll bring it up. I'll certainly bring it up 2 weeks from now, because maybe this coming Monday show was already recorded. But something happened during this midweek drive installment. I was contacted by the writer-director of a movie that we discussed on Chilpack Hollywood Hour this week. And I had been planning to ask you anyway, Alex, as a student and a teacher of science fiction, whether or not you'd ever seen the Philip K. Dick movie adaptation Radio Free Album, which I may not even be pronouncing correctly.
No, you're absolutely right. Obviously, Philip K. Dick, the K stands for kindred, in case you're wondering. Also, and the short answer is, it's been one of my list of things to see, but I haven't actually got around to seeing it as yet. Just bouncing back an interesting piece of trivia, what is the connection, Phil Leonis, between Philip K. Dick and Ursula K. Le Guin?
They have both have K.
I knew you'd say that. No. Curiously, they both actually went to Berkeley High School and graduated at the same time. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah. That's fascinating. You know, at SciFest this past year, the first ever, and it's going to be a second one very soon, first ever theater festival of science fiction here in Los Angeles, one of the pieces was a 30-minute monologue written for the stage by Ursula K. Le Guin.
There you are, you see. She
And since then, it's so haunting that I continue to have a recurring nightmare that a woman overacting for 30 minutes is chasing me around with a mind-bogglingly awful monologue.
Oh my gosh,
so,
that's terrifying.
Anyway.
Played by Pauline Fleming, from a restaurant somewhere in South Shields. Amazing.
But I was curious about whether or not you'd seen this, because I did know that it got some kind of release in the UK, and I believe that it might have even come through our friends at Sci-Fi London.
Radio Free Albemuth has not quite sort of reached our stream of consciousness as yet. Will they?
Okay, well, it was fascinating because, like I said, the writer-director just reached out to me because we were speaking of it. One of our listeners had written in, and it's one of his two favorite films of the year, and Dean and I were speaking about how we both wanted to see it, and then the reviews were mostly unkind, so we actually didn't see it, which is kind of shame on us, especially when it comes to Philip K. Dick adaptation, because after all, no less than Blade Runner was reviled by critics.
Precisely.
When it came out.
Precisely.
And here it is, considered one of the classics, not only of the genre, but of cinema in general. So kind of shame on us for ignoring it just based on what the critics thought. And more or less that's what the writer-director reached out to say was shame on us.
From sci-fi author Philip K. Dick comes his most personal and prophetic thriller to date. It's 1985 in an alternate reality, and Berkeley Records store clerk Nick Brady, played by Jonathan Scarf, of course, from Perception, begins to experience strange visions transmitted from an extraterrestrial source he calls Valis. He uproots his family and moves to Los Angeles, where he becomes a successful music executive with a secret mission to overthrow the oppressive government led by U.S. President Fremont. With the help of his best friend, sci-fi writer Philip K. Dick himself, played by Shea Whigham from Boardwalk Empire and American Hustle, and a beautiful, mysterious woman named Sylvia, Alanis Morissette, Nick finds himself drawn into a conspiracy of cosmic, mind-shattering proportions. Although it might cost them their freedom or even their lives, they join forces to expose the dangerous truth about the corrupt regime.
I feel like this is something we're going to have to watch. Not only am I going to need to and desire to have this writer-director on the show, but he seems like someone, once you've seen it, that ought to do a report on the Midweek Draft.
Well, there we are. It's a thing to actually consider. And in fact, it may well be a week on Saturday that both Jessica and Emma experience their first ever comic convention in Birmingham, where we might actually introduce them both to Katie Grimason as well, and Annette André.
Whoa. Very exciting.
Yeah, that's with Ed Wellman. Still, we'll see what actually happens with respect to that. If you're still obviously fascinated to find out what comes up after the midweek drive on Siren 107.3 FM, if you're listening to it live on a Wednesday night, well, it will be Siren Lifestyle with Craig Wiley. Rhymes with smiley, okay?
Aww. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
I thought so. Very positive from that point of view. Jessica, any questions for Phil Leonard, such as how you can improve your basketball scoring technique as a defender? Or indeed, netball.
It's not the same thing.
Totally different. Not basketball. It's all right. Jessica isn't a Harlem Globetrotter.
No.
Netball. Same results. Jessica, over to yourself.
Well, have you ever played netball? There we go. There's a question for you.
Have I ever before this
played
moment
netball?
Netball.
Do you not have it in the US?
Or like,
an extraordinary basketball player, but I do not know what netball is.
I think netball's sort of like, the best way to describe it is like, it's basketball for girls, but you're not allowed to run and bounce the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you pass it to each other.
There you go.
But yeah.
But here, some of the best basketball players are girls, so I don't understand why we would need a separate game for girls.
True. Good question.
Sexism question.
It's these kind of issues that actually call for a note from the universe, methinks.
The things that are common to you, like windy mornings, starry skies, old trees, beetles, strawberries, doorbells, coffee, blue jeans, and summertime, are not common to us. Enjoy every flippin' moment, the universe. Yes, believe me, time and space to us is like the ultimate theme park.
Yep, there you go. It could be seen as an advert for next year's upcoming movie Tomorrowland, but that's another line entirely. What are you doing for the rest of the day, Phil? Will it be a case of more post-production work on The Lady Killers?
Interesting that you would ask. I have a meeting. Always there's work to do on The Lady Killers, a darkly comedic motion picture. Supported by no less than Alex Lefchook.
I just gave a dollar. That's all, really. You know, that in my own little way.
But first of all, for you to scrounge up a dollar in a country that has a different monetary currency, that effort alone is appreciated. I am meeting with no less than Alana Rain this afternoon to discuss the possibilities of maybe doing a science fiction web series together.
Hey, that would be the Alana Rain, of course, regular correspondent on the show. She's actually due back shortly, actually, so we need to sort of book her in for another sort of sequence. Very good.
I sense, based on the 3.5 seconds of utter silence that followed me announcing that, that Jessica and Emma are overwhelmed with excitement.
That's
the only possible explanation.
Of course.
I think that they're looking. Will Ilana look to feature those wonderful roller disco derby girls that we've come to appreciate? Really, it's a thought. Anyway, life could
science fiction bikini beach party, as we
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Yep. I think we could.
What
well
more could
be
you want,
that,
really?
Yeah. Peter Capaldi, you know,
in a bikini with roller skates.
I think
I'm not really seeing it.
Oh, you will be seeing it in the next season premiere of Doctor Who. I'm pretty well certain of that. Because you know what? The rating slide was not made up. I'm sorry, Stephen Moffat. So, you will be seeing that, I think.
Wow. I'm excited.
Shocking.
It's a whole new world, but it's time to throw those last two questions at Phil Leonis. So, Emma, do the magic.
Of course. Phil, have you had a good time on the show with us today?
Oh, have we been on the show?
I didn't
realize we'd started yet. I thought we were just warming up. Yes, of course, always wonderful.
And will you be joining us again next week?
Oh, okay. You twisted my arm.
Yay!
Exactly. We're off with Rhoda with the specials, a.k.a. the specials. Or special, a.k.a. the specials, taken from the boiler. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Graham Harper, Michelle Monroe, Alan Stevens, Pauline Fleming, and Phil Leonis, and, of course, Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. Back again tomorrow, ladies?
Yes. Yeah.
8 a.m. UK time, midnight California time, with a whole heap of other goodies, including the return of Natalie Tuck, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Katie Grimmerson, William Sitwell, and Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. It's time to say farewell and happy trails from the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.